Hello and welcome to the Dotball Cricket Podcast. I'm Ken Borland and it's my great pleasure to have with me former Protea spinner Paul Harris and former Protea all-rounder John Kent. And today it's really nice to be able to focus a bit on the domestic game in South Africa, which kicked off with the CSA Provincial T20 Cup. And we're going to look at the quarterfinals that are coming up in that competition next week. And we'll also have a bit of a look at the ICC T20 World Cup. The qualifying tournament starts at the weekend. And there is, of course, interest there for the Proteas because two of those qualifiers go through to the main tournament, if you like, and South Africa will play against those teams. John Kent, you've been busy. I think you commentated on every single game so far for SuperSport in that CSA Provincial.
Yeah, I've been in Bloem and Kimberley. Yeah.
Great. Real hot spots. Maybe just weather-wise, but yeah. And Paul Harris, how are you? What have you been up to?
Very good in yourself. Just work and studies. It's pretty much my life at the moment. But it's good. Good for me, I suppose, to be busy.
I would say it keeps you out of mischief, Paul, but sure. We don't want to let on.
No, there's no mischief these days. There's zero.
Zero. I find that little hard to believe, but we'll take your word for it, Paul. John Kent, you have been very busy, obviously, watching, if not all of the games in the CSA Provincial T20 Cup, certainly most of them. What have been your overall impressions of what we've seen so far?
I think so far, obviously, Pool A was in Kimberley. The Lions got off to a pretty slow start. Super over Northern Cape had a chance. And obviously, we know the Southwestern Districts team actually qualified in that pool with Western Province. So the Lions obviously missing out. So they're one of the only top eight team to miss out on quarterfinals in this tournament. But I think as a general one, the wicket's been decent in Kimberley, better than expected. And there's been a lot of boundaries. I think there's been a huge number of drop catches, and we've seen some very ordinary fielding, particularly by some of these bottom seven teams. You can say it's early in the season, you can say what you want, but a lot of it hasn't been good enough, to be fair. We saw in Pool B, there's just a couple other things I thought I'd bring up. The Rhinos and Mpumalanga Rhinos almost beat the Titans in a 7-over game, which was pretty tight. I think the Rhinos had an opportunity to get victory there, but they panicked and the Titans just held their nerve and got over the line. But the Knights, who were playing in that same pool, had Riley Rousseau back in that side, which made a huge difference. He basically just took over the game, and he took it by the scruff of the neck and found it things pretty easy going. I'm trying to look at the next round here. Obviously, the Rocks from Bulant and Paul. The Warriors look like they've got a really good batting lineup with Brietsky opening, and then they got Libber and Smuts, those type of guys. So they're playing quite a good brand at the moment. I'm a little bit worried about their bowling. We've been talking about spin quite a lot in the last few podcasts. I think the Paul Rocks have got a really nice blend of spinners. They've got the likes of Manek, and they've got Von Berg. They've got some really good ones there. So I think they're quite a good team to watch. Their batting unit hasn't quite fired yet. And then just heading on to the Pool C this last weekend in Bloem, the Dolphins looked pretty comfortable in most of those games. The Easterns lost by one run against Northwest, which was the big sort of knockout game in that pool. And the Dragons just got over the line there. So they've got a couple of new faces in their side, like the Wesley Marshalls and Mutasamis, and a few guys they've added to their, their ranks coming up from the bottom league to the top division now. And obviously the S19, they were part of this last weekend's progress. A couple of, cameo appearances, but a couple disappointing areas as well from them. But I think the only real surprise in this whole, going through to the quarters, obviously the Lions missing out, who we know are a very decent team.
I think I've been fairly impressed with how competitive a lot of the Division Two sides were. And certainly at the Lions, a big surprise getting knocked out basically by Southwestern Districts. And the Lions, well, let's just say the Wanderers-based team, won the last franchise T20. I guess it speaks to that there are a lot of different players now, Paul Harris, in the different provincial teams. Things have really shifted around a lot.
Sure. I mean, the limited that I've watched, and I have watched some, but not a lot, is I'm getting old because I don't know any of the players. So, yeah, it's interesting. I'm not 100% sure about it. I don't know if it's going to increase the standard of cricket in South Africa, but the powers that be have decided that's the way to go. And I suppose, we've got to get on with it, but it certainly will give a lot of young guys opportunity, which is always good. It's good to see that young guys getting opportunity and playing televised games and, you know, being a bit more under under pressure. And I suppose, you know, tournaments like this might find that one or two gems that we didn't know existed. So great to see. Not surprising that a guy like Riley Rousseau would dominate. He's a fantastic cricketer. And, you know, I think that level of cricket would suit him down to the ground. So, yeah, it's good to see guys getting opportunity, and hopefully we'll get some future stars out of it.
The Titans also just scraping through. John mentioned that 7-over game against the Mpumalanga Rhinos. So they got through by the skin of their teeth. And Northwest, the Dragons, another Division One team that kind of just made it into the quarterfinals. Paul, John mentioned the fielding. Now, to my mind, fielding is one of the things that you can definitely control as a team. It's surely just a matter of hard work. These Division Two sides are meant to no longer be semi-professional. They're meant to be professional now. Surely, to get your fielding right, it's just a matter of putting in the time and effort, isn't it?
I feel this is a bit of a loaded question you're asking me this, but
no, Paul.
Sure. no, look, it's pretty much a non-negotiable, especially you would have quite a few young guys in the sides now. You know, so I mean, don't think the average age of teams would be all that high. So, you know, age is certainly not an excuse, and it's the one of the things you can control. You know, maybe nerves could play a bit of a role in it with some young guys getting their sort of first games of TV and so on and so forth. But you would think that, I mean, guys would have fielding down to a fine art these days. You know, the sort of athleticism and the level of fielding's gone up so much in the last sort of, you know, decade, maybe decade and a half, but it's a non-negotiable for all teams. You know, you'd often find in times gone by the sort of Pakistans, you never know what you're going to get. These days, even, you know, they're a very good fielding unit. So there isn't any excuses for that. I did hear there were a lot of drop catches that went down. You know, you've got to get the basics right, and that's is the basics. So sad to hear that, but I'm sure the fielding coaches around the country will be licking their lips to get some of the skills sharpened up for future games in the field.
So the quarterfinals of the CSA Provincial T20 Cup start next Tuesday, the 19th of October, and just running through those, the first game, Southwestern Districts, the Surprise Packets are up against the Northern Titans, who, as I say, weren't hugely impressive in qualifying. Southwestern Districts have got one of the sort of new pacemen who's burst on the scene a bit. I think he's been around in the semi-pro for a while, but certainly in terms of TV games, Herschel America bursting on the scene as one of the leading wicket-takers. And their batting does seem to revolve around the experienced Yasin Valley and their captain, Jean Duplessis. Northerns, one guy, Paul, like you mentioned, is guys really announcing themselves on the big stage. Donovan Ferreira actually saved their bacon a couple of times with Sibonela Makanya. And really the Northerns attack, very reliant on Erin Pangiso and Okukle Chele. John, have we heard anything more about Dean Elgar's injury? And that Northern's batting lineup, surely it needs Tiernis de Bruin in there somewhere.
Yeah, I think Tiernis had a finger injury as well, but I think he should be on his way back from the sounds of things. And then they also got that. Oh, sorry, they will include Harmer and Junior Dala, who was obviously battling with like COVID-related, you know, not being so well trying to recover from it. But I think so. That's three guys added to their squad that are very accomplished players. Yeah, so they'll be nicely lifted by the addition of those guys. Yeah.
And Dean Elgar's injury. Do you know if he's going to be available? Or I certainly haven't heard anything.
No, nothing yet. I think it was just a little twinge, I think, during a warm up. So they won't take any chances with him. I think they'll want to get him ready with these 4-day games that follow this competition, I'd say, going into December's test matches.
Given those additions to the Northern side, do you think South Western Districts have a chance? Well, there's always a chance in T20, but is it 50-50?
Yeah, I think it's just in those games where we've seen before, in some of these fixtures, there's been a glimmer of a chance for some of these sides to drive the advantage home and get a win, but they haven't been able to sort of hold their nerve and not panic, basically. So it'll be, obviously they can't afford any mistakes in this game, that's for sure, South Western Districts, but they're pretty proud of the fact that they're in, the quarterfinals of this competition, and no other bottom seven side has been able to do this. So they're pretty proud of what they've done so far.
Yeah, certainly an achievement for the men from Otsuan. The next quarterfinal in Kimberley, also on Tuesday, the afternoon game, is the Free State Knights against Western Province. And I must say, I was very impressed with the Knights. Paul Harris, any team that's got a batting lineup with Riley Rousseau, Farhan Berdeen, Jacques Snyman, I know he didn't fire in the first round, but you know what he can do. Pait van Bignon, Wandile Mokoetu, and that pace bowling attack, Miguel Pretorius, Mbulele Badaza, Gerald Kutsia, they look a strong outfit. And for me, I think they're going to be in the final.
Sure, and obviously very well led with Pait van Bignon and very well coached. So, you got Alan Donald in the mix. So they seem to have got their picks right and they've got their balance right. They've got some pretty good senior players. The likes of Riley Rousseau being back on that side. Baradine, who's probably been the best finisher in the last 10 years in South African domestic cricket. It's hard to see anyone really beating them. T20 cricket is weird. It is a bit odd. Anything can happen, but on paper they look the best outfit by quite some distance. It's going to take either a very poor effort from their side or a miracle innings or a great spell from somebody to topple them. But certainly they've got to be the favourites.
John, Western Province, I feel a bit sorry for them drawing the Knights in the quarterfinals because I was quite impressed after all the tough times they've had lately. With how they played in the first round. Zubair Hamza obviously having a wonderful tournament so far. Kyle Verena is striking at 176, which given there have been some criticisms about his ability to score quickly enough in T20 cricket. You've got Kyle Simmons, who's really provided some great all-round touches. And any team with three left-arm quicks, Nandre Berger, Wayne Parnell, Buren Hendricks. John, do you fancy Western Province could upset the Knights?
I think that the battle, I think, would be with the young fast bowlers that the Knights have got against the fairly young batting lineup of Western Province. I think, obviously there's some experience. I think Parnell coming in as like a first change bowler for them has proved pretty important so far. And obviously him coming in around maybe five or six on the batting order also is quite a useful addition. Hamza was in form. They've got the likes of DeZorzi. We saw a little bit of that guy Bird, who played one good innings towards the end of the pool, which was quite impressive because I haven't seen that much of him. He seemed quite destructive, had quite a lot of sixes and seemed quite a confident, like tall, imposing type of player. Simmons, he adds a bit to the bat and ball. Buren Hendricks was a little, undercooked, it seemed. He's been on the bench a lot overseas of late. Nandre Berger, like you said, they've almost got a fully fledged left arm everything attack. So left arm spinners and left arm pace. So it's interesting, but I think that that top order of Western Province is going to be tested.
John, as a batsman, to have the different angles that left arm quicks bring, specifically in T20 cricket, is that tougher for the batsman?
I think you just got to, as a batter, you know your sort of areas that you would look to target. I suppose particularly in the power play where they've got maybe a third man and a deep square leg back as an example. I think some of those bowlers are able to swing the ball quite late, which will be pretty useful if the conditions allow. But at the end as well, there were the likes of those two left arm opening bowlers coming around the wicket bowling cutters. That seemed to be quite a common theme as Kimberley wore on. So I think there'll be a lot of cutters being bowled sort of in the middle and later overs. I think that'll be a tactic. But as a batsman facing left arm bowlers, it's all really, I suppose, tuned in and how much you practice, you know, how much you actually train on that sort of angle. And you know, some of the teams around the country don't really have any left arm pace bowlers, so it might be something new for some batsmen to have to deal with.
Yeah, I do think Western Province, the batting pretty reliant on Hamza and Verena, but I know David Beddingham is back in Cape Town, so maybe he'll come in just to strengthen their batting a bit. The next quarterfinal on Wednesday, the KZN Dolphins against the Eastern Province Warriors. Paul, you said you can't really see a team beating the Knights. I fancy the Dolphins. If I just run through what they've got, I mean, in terms of batting, Grant Roelofsen, Saro Levia, Marcus Ackerman, Kaya Zondo, Keegan Peterson. They've got Jason Smith, who's done well as an all-round already. And then the bowling, Darren Dupavillon, magnificent at the death the other day. Otniel Bartman had a very good tournament. And Prenolin Subrayan is obviously a quality white ball spinner. Paul, the Dolphins, do you feel that they are potential winners of the overall title?
Sure. I mean, they've obviously got a good squad as well, but I just don't think that, I think the quality, especially the batting depth of the Knights, is just, you know, and the experience that they have in that setup is too much for anyone else. Also, you know, where they're playing the games, I think makes a big difference. If it was at the coast, then I suppose you could, you know, brings in the Dolphins a bit more. You know, the Knights are pretty much used to playing cricket in Kimberley. Most of their guys would be used to playing cricket in Kimberley. And that's where the games are going to be held, pretty flat. You know, very fast outfield, very bumpy outfield. You know, although it is quite a big playing surface, they'd also be used to that. So I think everything points in the direction of them being favourites. But having said that, like I said before, you know, it just takes one of those really good Dolphins players to either, you know, smack the ball on the ground for sort of 10 overs and get a big score, or one of the bowlers like Dupavillon did the other night, and come in and bowl a brilliant spell, and the game can be there. So, you know, that's the beauty of T20 cricket. But I think on paper, the Knights have got my vote.
John, the Eastern Province Warriors, you said you were impressed by them. Obviously, Matthew Bietzka had a superb first round of the tournament with three half centuries and three innings. Vian Lubbe has played for the Proteas. We know what he can do. John Smuts, evergreen. And one guy who I think is pretty exciting is Tristan Stubbs. You did say, though, you're a little bit concerned about their bowling.
Yeah, I think some of their seam options were tested, and there's not a huge amount of experience in some of the seamers there. Obviously, Smuts offers something. Stubbs actually bowled quite a few off-spinners in this tournament. And he actually bowled at quite a nice pace and looked to have good control. But Stubbs, is, in terms of their batting lineup, is one of their sort of finishers. With about 5-6 overs left, he was utilised. And in the last game, he really did well. But I think what Robbie P has done with the batting approach, I think you really got to put your hand up and say, like, he's done a great job, because what they are doing is, instead of scoring 40 for one in the power play, you know, his guys are scoring, you know, 55 to 60 runs in the power play, and taking advantage of that first six overs, unlike a lot of other teams where guys are trying to have a look, taking their time to get in, and they sort of lose that initiative to pick up boundary. So, like, he's got that unit sorted out. I think it's the right pair up front, and then John Smuts coming in at three can, I suppose, adapt to whatever situation he needs to.
Yeah, Robin Peterson talks a lot about guys backing themselves and playing fearless cricket, and the numbers are showing it. If I just look at the strike rates of the top half dozen in the Warriors' batting averages, it's 163, 165, 160, 169, 206 and 176. So they are certainly backing themselves. The last quarterfinal is between Borland, playing as the Paul Rocks, and the Northwest Dragons. John, who are you backing there?
I think I'm going to go with the G Betts Rocks. I think their spin attack has been like really stand apart in terms of spin throughout this tournament, and they're heavy spin reliant. They only had Abrahams and I think of his name, another all-rounder there, who bowled at the death in terms of seamers. So they don't have many seam options at the moment. I know they've got the likes of Hodis Viljoen and Carl Abbott meant to be sort of joining in their squad this season. But I think their spin has been pretty good. I think the disappointing thing, I suppose, in this last pool would be both Milans didn't really feature too much. Jonker got a couple of runs with Sean van Berg. Van Berg was coming in at 7, and he almost got the most runs for their side this last week. So I think they'll want their top order to fire. But I think in terms of the Northwest guys, there's a couple of big names there, like the Marshall at the top, who if he gets in, it's you know, you got some real trouble trying to keep him quiet. And then there's Eben Boerta, who played the first game against the Dolphins and smashed it everywhere. A little left-hander from Pukka, if I remember, from Varsity Cup days. But he looks useful. And then they got Mutu Sammy in the middle order and a couple other players. So I think their bowling might get tested a touch. They've got Eldred Hawken in there, who's obviously spearheads that bowling attack. But I think all in all, I just think that bowling unit of the Rocks is quite well suited.
And I get the feeling that there's enough quality in their batting lineup those guys are going to fire at some stage, and then they're going to be even better. Paul, have you seen much of Imran Manak? To me, a tall off spinner, and looks really ideally suited to the white ball stuff.
Sure, I've seen quite a bit of him in the last few years. He looks a really sort of promising white ball bowler. He's got incredible control, which is what you want, and he can bowl with a new ball. So he certainly is one for the future. I think we're pretty blessed at the moment with the sort of spinning riches that we have in the country. You know, it's very un-South African, but really exciting for someone with my past in South African cricket. It's great to see. And he's certainly one of the guys, you know, for the future. He'll have his work cut out for him. He's going to have to do really well. Because, as I said, you know, there's a lot of competition for places in higher up teams. But he's got age on his side. I would imagine he looks like quite a young fella. And you know, that certainly, you know, I love it when we start getting a spin bowling culture. It seems like we're starting to get that in South Africa, where we're looking to our spin bowlers to break the game open. And he's certainly one of the guys that can do that. And looking forward to seeing his progress now in the next few years.
I agree with you, Paul. It is fantastic to see a lot more reliance on spin bowling in South African cricket. And as we just switch our attention to the T20 World Cup in the United Arab Emirates, you would never expect the Proteas to be kind of hoping, I think, for turning pitches. But I think with the bowling attack we have and the improvement shown in the batting, that is the case, I think. As we go into the T20 World Cup, it's the qualifying tournament first. The qualifiers are divided into two groups, four teams Group A, four teams Group B. And the way it's working is that the team that wins Group A will play in the Proteas group, and the team that finishes second in Pool B will also advance to the Proteas group. In Group A, we have Ireland, Namibia, the Netherlands, and Sri Lanka. At face value, you would probably expect Sri Lanka to be favourites to top that group. But Paul Harris, I know you are quite close to the coaching staff of Namibia, who have done amazing work lately. Is it too much to hope for that maybe Namibia could upset Sri Lanka? You know, not counting out Ireland and the Netherlands either.
No, to answer that question, you know, it was quite funny speaking to Dean Olga about them, that the Titans team went there for a preseason tournament, and he described them as a naughty team, which is quite funny. And he meant that in a positive way. He means that they could really easily upset one of the bigger sides. They are incredibly well disciplined. Pierre de Bruyne is their head coach, with Albie Morkel, their assistant coach. I think they've even got Richard Daz Neves there as well. He's at the Titans now as well. He's there as a supporting member, and they've got their team well drilled. I mean, they got boys there, really strong Namibian guys that get the ball out the ground. They managed, in my opinion, a huge coup in getting David Bisa to play for them, which is amazing for them. They could be very dangerous. You're going to have your A game against them. They'll be disciplined in the field. They'll hit line and length. They won't have too many world beaters, but they led very well as well. Craig Williams, because they're captain. So I'm looking forward to seeing how they can progress. You know, they've come in on in leaps and bounds in the last 3 to 4 years while Pierre de Bruyne has been their coach. And, you know, I'm obviously rooting heavily for them, and hopefully we can see them in the main draw at the T20 World Cup. Wouldn't that be wonderful to see our neighbors, you know, playing maybe even in our pool?
Yeah, I would love that. A South Africa against Namibia game. Just for those who don't remember David Viso, he last played for South Africa 5 years ago. Paul, just tell us a bit about his strengths in white ball cricket.
Well, he's a very good all-rounder. He's hugely experienced. He played a lot of cricket for Sussex as well, in the UK. I actually think he's got pretty good record there. He's got a great stat where he played every single game for them in one season, which anyone who's played or knows anything about the county setup, it's a pretty good effort for an all-rounder to play every single game. So hits the ball out the ground. He can hit the first ball that he faces out the ground. He's a big, tall guy. He bowls medium paces. He can take the new ball, swings it away from the right-hander, and pretty good in the field. So I think the main thing for him is he's hugely experienced. And for that Namibian team, that is, you know, he's got a wealth of knowledge. He's played in some pretty good Titans teams over the years, won a lot of trophies, so he's used to winning. I had to throw that in there. And he's an all-around good guy as well, good for the team. So, I mean, I think that's a great effort from Pierre de Bruyne to get him qualified and get him into that setup. You know, add a lot of value to a couple of those young players there.
Yeah, David Viso. Also, I mean, you mentioned stats. He actually has the world record now for the most 5-wicket hauls in T20 cricket anywhere. So that's a hell of a feather in his cap.
Sure.
He's a proper player. And knowing Pierre de Bruyne, he's no respecter of reputation. So he's going to have his guys really fired up to cause a surprise in Group A. Group B, John Kent, we have Bangladesh, Oman, Papua New Guinea, and Scotland. I think Bangladesh are pretty certain to finish top of that group. But who do you see finish second and coming up against the Proteas?
I think, the first team I think of that would come second in that group would be Scotland. There's another South African coach there, Shane Berger, who's part of that setup as well. So this could be very interesting as the tournament progresses, who goes through, and we can follow them all quite keenly. But I think, a team like Bangladesh, we know how dangerous they can be. They've got a lot of match winners, and they, you know, with the likes of Sri Lanka also having to play qualifiers, they're good teams and they're dangerous teams. So, you know, they might have been poor in lead-up series. We've seen them play us of late, and they've taken a bit of a beating most of the time. But, you know, in sort of knockout cricket, they are always a bit of a handful. But I would say, like you said off the bat there, Bangladesh should be first. And then, you know, I'm hoping for Scotland to get through.
I have to say that I think we're quite fortunate, South Africa, that we probably not going to play Bangladesh, because I think they'll be very dangerous in those conditions. And of course, there's the added confidence of having beaten Sri Lanka 3-0 recently in their own conditions. Paul, just as a final word from you, just how important is that sort of confidence for a team going into a World Cup when you have beaten one of your opponents 3-0?
Obviously, it's usually confident building, but, you know, a World Cup's a World Cup. I don't read too much into the stuff that's gone by. In past World Cups, South Africa have been favourites. You know, haven't really, put their foot down and put their peg in the ground, as we know the history of South Africa at World Cups. So, you know, I think it's anyone's game. I think that this particular World Cup is going to be fairly close. I don't think maybe India standout team, but in general, I think it's anyone's World Cup. I'm going to put my South African cap on now, since he's saying it's my last comment. And, you know, I think that with our bowling units, if we can restrict teams to sort of the 130, 140 max, 150, in those conditions, we've got a really good chance. I think we have one of the stronger bowling units. We've got our bases covered. We've got all types of spinners. And we've got guys that bowl the ball at 145, 150 with our seamers. So, you know, if our sort of senior batsmen can stand up and put their peg in the ground and really have, we have three guys, you know, three of our top five that have great tournaments. I don't see any reason why we can't get far. If not, you know, with everything going our way, win the thing. So, I'm confident quietly, if that's, any way to say it. And, really, backing the boys to, you know, to shut a few people up and to put in a good performance.
John Kent, just a last word from you on, the IPL, of course, was played in the Emirates recently, or it's still going on as we speak, but it will end, just before the, World Cup starts. Have we learned anything from the IPL that we can take into the World Cup?
I just think it's some of the grounds have played quite differently in terms of how easy it is to get spin away. Some games slightly bigger grounds, some slightly smaller. So I think each ground and each area that they're going to be playing in has got its particular, you know, intricacies, I think. But I think if the guys can get off to a good start, you know, there's obviously gives you a real opportunity to put something decent on. I think spin, we've known it's going to be a big key area of this World Cup, and I'm sure it's going to be a really good contest to see who can obviously rotate the strike in the middle and obviously their boundary hitting. I think some teams are obviously, you think of a West Indian side, loaded with boundary hitters, but are they able to manoeuvre the ball around? And when we played them in the West Indies, we saw they weren't really able to. So I think these sort of factors can always help us out with our really well-balanced attack. But yeah, it's, you know, like Paul says, it's anyone's game, I tell you.
Great, yeah. Let's hope that the Proteas can get stuck in, and let's hope our bowling attack can make the opposition batsmen get stuck, as they have so well earlier this have done so well previously this year. That's all we have for you. Thanks very much once again to John Kent and Paul Harris for joining us. And don't forget to like and subscribe. And if you'd like to get hold of us on Twitter, you can at @dotballpodcast, all one word. And we look forward to sharing our views on the wonderful game of cricket and looking at how it's going here in South Africa. Thanks very much for your time, and goodbye.